Psalm 37, verse number 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. They're all around us, folks. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Preacher, when will they be cut down? When God's ready. Is he ready? I believe so. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Boy, I like this verse. You ought to learn it. You ought to mark it in your Bible. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee. Let me believe the Bible. Say amen. Amen. And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. They're all around us, folks. Many of them who are prospering don't even know Christ as their Savior. But the world does reward the world. God rewards his own. Verse 8, cease from anger, forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Now remember, we're reading from the Old Testament here. Verse 12, the wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Got news for you, the devil's after every one of us. And so is his crew. Let's drop down for sake of time, drop down to verse number 18. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. God takes care of his own, if you will. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of the lambs, a fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous sheweth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, and for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old, I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful, and lendeth, depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of God is in his heart. None of his step shall slide. Listen to me now. Listen to me. Go back up to verse number 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. And the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I'm going to preach to you this hour on this subject. The hand that guides and the hand that guards the people of God. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord. I pray, God, you'd help me to be a blessing to your people here today. Help me to bring honor and glory to your Son's name, the Lord Jesus. But, Lord, speak to every heart. I don't know the hearts of people here today. I can only speculate. I can only guess. But you know every single heart here this morning. You know the hearts of every young and old alike. And God, I pray that you'll work in our midst today. Lord, we know we already have baptisms upcoming. What a blessing. It means that we have people that are saved and ready to be baptized. Become a part of your work until you come for us. So, Lord, help me. Help this old preacher be a blessing. Help this old preacher be on track. We'll love you and thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. the hand that guards and guides us in our daily life. These two verses, or a few verses that we just read here, declare a great and marvelous statement of fact. And here it is. Look at verse 23 again. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. By the way, you may think you're choosing the right way. You may think you're choosing the way you think is right, but God has the right way. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, listen, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I used this the other day, I believe I did, with the old folk. I've been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You know what's amazing to me? God has taken care of me ever since the day I got saved. Ever since I got born again there at Trinity Baptist Church in Grand Prairie, Texas, God has taken care of this old boy. He's taken care of my wife, Elizabeth, and our family, and the kids that have grown up. One of them's your pastor now, and others are in ministry today. And I owe all that to God. It's something that we can do on our own. God has to guard our lives. God has to guide our lives day in and day out. We sure make a mess of them sometimes, don't we? These two verses there, verse 23 and 24, declare to you and I a great, marvelous statement of fact that shall never, ever go away until we arrive in death and be with our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, or until the rapture takes place and we're all home to be with Him. These two verses declare not only a great, marvelous statement of fact, but they are available for everyone who would choose them. I like that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. I like what he said here. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him in his hand. God always has a way out for those that are seeking for a way out. He has a way out of eternal death and eternal destination to hell if we seek the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. When I think about that, I think about so many verses here that I could spend time on, but I've had to cut it back, and I want to be a blessing in all ways today, and God knows my heart, and in the Sunday school class where all the old people gathered this morning in our class, it was full. And the songs that were chosen, I believe, if you'll listen carefully, class, you'll find them throughout the message today. Look at Isaiah chapter 41. We'll be back to Psalms, so you might want to mark that if you can. But Isaiah 41, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, if you will, in all of the Bible. And I hope that it'll be that to you. Many of you probably have heard me use it from time to time, and you're going to hear it again right now. If not, you ought to underline it. You ought to highlight it. Make a mark by it. Write on a piece of paper to remind you. This ought to be a good reading for any day of the week and any time during your life, whether it be times of blessings or times of trial, if you will. Look at verse number, Isaiah 41, verse number 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. I mean, believe God's with us today. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. In other words, God is not going to let us fall unless we choose to fall. God is there to pick us up. God is there to forgive us. God is there to cleanse us. God is there to challenge us. God is there to guard us. God is there to guide us in every day from that day forward. In this glorious truth here, there's another verse down there, and I've read it over and over so many times, but I like verse 13 there in Isaiah 41 says this, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee." I don't know about you, but every time I read that, that gets a hold of me. That means that God the Father, the eternal God, the Godhead, God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, is willing to reach out His right hand to you and ask for your hand in His. Listen to me, so that you might be saved, born again, living right for God, having a choice to do something special for God, because you do understand that God could come back at any moment. The Bible says, in a twinkling of an eye. I'm looking forward to that day. I would to God it would happen before this message is over with, so I don't mess up anymore. Amen. But in this glorious truth that God's given to you and I, we have God's guarantee that if we belong to Him, that He will guide us if we allow Him to. By the way, sometimes even if you don't allow Him to, He has a way of bringing you around. Amen. Do you love him this morning? I said, do you love him this morning?
Amen.
Kind of how we tell our spouses we love him, isn't it? Weak. And yet you say, well, God knows my heart. Well, express your heart from time to time. Let other people know you can smile. Let other people know that he's real. Let other people know that he can guide you into in any area of your life for the rest of your life, even into eternity. I hope to pray that you're not ashamed of him this morning. And as we look here at these verses, it shows somebody who's not ashamed of their God. So I want to give you a few thoughts this morning that I hope that will help you and challenge you. And by the end of the message, maybe something that will change you for the better for him. First of all, there is a person that God describes here in these verses. I'll not go back and read them all. Let you do that later on your own. But it's most important that we begin here because you must learn this truth. God's guiding and God's guarding hand is offered to every single one here today. But the promise is only to those who accept it. The promise is only to those who accept it. Well, what has God done for me? Well, what have you done for God? Have you ever called upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save you and forgive you of your sin, to save you and make you ready for heaven, make you ready for death? Because beyond death, ladies and gentlemen, there's only two places you can go. It's either to hell or to heaven. And you got to make that choice this side. You got to make it, possibly make it today, maybe your last opportunity to do so. But the person described here is none other than God himself. And it's most important that you and I begin there with him. The steps, the Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Think about that. The steps of a good man. My Bible tells me, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but the Bible tells me there is none good, no, not one. Isaiah 64:6, I'll tell you when to turn so you don't have to try to keep up. Isaiah 64:6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness, our goodness, if you will, are as filthy rags. And we all, listen, do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Listen here, if you're here today, you are saved, and you know if you died right now, you'd go home to be with Jesus, or if he were to come back right now and take us home, you'd be ready to go. If you know that, I got news for you, and you heard it preached this last Wednesday, you heard it preached last Sunday, I got news for you, you've got a body of flesh. And your flesh and your mind takes you into areas that you know you ought not be, you ought not go, you ought not think. But God's here to guide us. God's here to guard us. And he gives us opportunity and gives us way to do that. Paul wrote this in the book of Romans. He wrote this, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. So you don't find it in just one place in the Bible. You don't find it even in the book of Psalm, but you find it in the other places that I've read to you. And again, in Romans chapter 3. Jesus himself, who is our righteousness. If you're going to have any righteousness, it's not coming by anything you can do. It's coming by everything he's already done. But our right, our goodness. So why callest thou me good? Jesus said, why callest thou me good? There is none good. This is Jesus speaking now. Listen to me. He says this. Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Think about that. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the one who went to Calvary and gave his life, said he is not even good, that God's the only one that's good. And God allowed Jesus Christ, if you will, to take your place so that you could know the righteousness of God and the goodness of God and the direction of God and God's hand in your life. Folks, listen to me. By nature, there is no good thing in you and there's no good thing in me. Let me tell you what got me where I am today. It's called grace. Grace is unmerited favor of God. In other words, you haven't deserved a thing that God has available. You don't even deserve the book you have called the Bible in front of you. And yet God allowed that book to be written, and he allowed that book to be given to you. He allowed that book to be anointed by him. He allowed that. He allowed this pulpit, not with me, but with your preacher from week to week. And we ought to start listening to our preacher. Thank God for Brother Hurdy. Thank God that somebody got up and stood up for the preacher for a change. And if you weren't here Wednesday night, you missed it. By the way, I wasn't here when he broke down last week. I don't know why it happened. He probably never tell anybody. He won't tell me and his mama. I know he might tell his mama. He ain't going to tell his daddy. Hopefully he told his heavenly daddy. Amen. There is no good thing in you. There's no good thing in me. But living by faith, living by grace through faith, we have been made, listen to me, good and righteous in Christ Jesus. I like what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made me to be sin. Listen, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Do you realize that we're seated here today, we're standing here today, all because of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost? Period. This church was built upon that premise, upon that foundation. Now listen to me. It is through this person, the Lord Jesus, the man, the God-man, if you will, that God is speaking about, and He's speaking to you and I about today. In Psalm 37, as I read so many scriptures there a moment ago, I want you to go back now and look at verse 23 and 24. Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24. Notice the wording again here because it gets good. It gets really good here. Psalm 37, verse number 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord, upholdeth him with his hand. When I think about that, I think about the steps of a good man. Look up here. I've said enough to tell you that you're only who God allows you to be if you're living the life that God wants you to live. That makes sense? In other words, we may be asking God to do something in our life or to help us in an area, but if we're not living for Him, if we're not obeying Him, if we're not obeying the Word of God, if we're not already answering the things that God has called upon us to do or to be a part of, then it's going to be very difficult to get the hand of blessing upon your life. But then all you got to do is just turn to Him. God has made unto you and I wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption and all of it to the glory of God. Look at Psalm 37. The steps of a good man, verse 23, are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. And I don't want to go back over those scriptures, but I do want you to just jump over, if you will, when I talk about the steps of a good man. I've written this down. I've had it in every Bible I've ever had. And I'm going to go over it one more time here in light of the message this morning. I want you to take your Bible and go over to it. Hold your place in Psalm. We'll be back. But go to Job chapter 13, if you will. Job chapter, just back to your left in your Bible from there. Job chapter number 13. How many of you got your Bible with you? Say amen. Look here, if you will, in Job, chapter 13. Look down. Well, look at verse 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. Now, look at verse 27. Thou puttest my feet also in the stocks, and lookest narrowly unto my paths. Thou settest a print upon the heels of my feet. I know you probably heard it, but you figure to hear it again. Look up here. Every one of us in here, when we were born, had that birth certificate. Everybody knows that. On that birth certificate are prints. Everybody understand what I'm saying? But you don't find fingerprints on the birth certificate. What do you find? You find footprints. You go and get any birth certificate you got, unless it's some new whatever out there. But I'm talking about a regular birth certificate you get from a hospital when a little boy is born or a little girl is born. You'll find out their footprint is put upon that. Are y'all with me? Think about that for just a moment. But no fingerprints. Huh, wonder why that is. Well, Job answers it. Look here. Job chapter 13, look at verse 27. Thou puttest my feet also in the stocks, lookest narrowly upon unto all my path. Thou settest a print upon the heels of my what? Look up here, let me tell you why. Because God knows every step you and I take. He knows everywhere we've been. And by the way, our feet ain't going to move until this moves. And once our mind and our heart is set on the path of God and serving God and being faithful to God, walking in the steps of God, then we're okay. But I'm telling you today, we got fingerprints now for people who commit murders and crimes and whatever, but back then it was a footprint. God knew what He was doing. See, God has a place for you to go. And God has a path for you to take. My question to you this morning, are we on that path? Or are we got off that path? Are we walking in sync with God? Or are we walking in the flesh? We could go on and on and on there. I think you've got the message there, if you will. It's not my goodness nor my righteousness that God blesses. It's His goodness. It's His righteousness. That's the reason that He steps out on purpose to help guard us and help guide us in this life. He realizes the path that He has set for us. But do we realize the path that He has set for us? I like what the Bible says here. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Let me ask you a question here. Are you one of His children this morning? If you were to die right now, do you know for sure you'd go to be with Jesus? You can't hope so, want so, whatever. You got to know so. You say, well, how do we do that, preacher? Well, most of you say, but just let me deal with the one or two or maybe more. Or maybe some church members that you've been putting it off because you'd be embarrassed if somebody found out you weren't saved. I'd rather be embarrassed than burning in a lake of fire in a place called hell. And so maybe you're here today. Maybe it's just one. Maybe I can just get you to thinking, what path are you taking today? See, God helps to guard His own. God helps to guide His own. But even His own, many times, listen to me, get off track, as I said. But there are some here that you seemingly stay off track all the time, walking in sin, and your mind goes crazy with the flesh and the things of this world, and you don't know why. I can tell you what two things could be. Number one, you're unsaved. You don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have Him in your heart. You don't have Him in your spirit. Look up here and you don't have Him on your side. Isn't it amazing how we get in trouble whether we're saved or unsaved? We run to God. And I'm glad we can. But I want to run to Him and know He hears me. Amen. I want to run to Him and know that not only does He hear me, but He's going to honor His Word. And He done told us here without going into great detail. You can read the book of Psalms on your own. But He's always talking about guarding us and guiding us. And His purpose is to order our lives. His purpose is to plan our lives. His pleasure is to see us honor that life for Him. Surely we won't turn this down. Surely we'll come to a knee in our heart, first of all, but maybe a physical knee, if at all possible, and just lay our heart out to God and realize that God loves you more than you love you. God loves you in spite of you. If God orders our lives and we submit and obey Him, then our lives will be guided by the mighty hand of God and will be guarded by the mighty hand of God. And God wants to bring order to my life and order to your life and order to the beauty and harmony and peace that He provides for those who will take hold of it. God has for our life already laid out things for us to do. Let me put it this way. I put an extra note here. God has our life already laid out from the womb to the tomb. What are you doing with that life? Well, preacher, I'm in church. I was in church a lot of years before I got saved. But when I got saved, God got a hold of that. God got a Sunday school class to teach. And then God just called me to preach. I mean, God just takes care of His own. Amen? That's why I want you to know that you're His own this morning. God will direct our steps. He will direct our path. But only if we trust Him and walk with Him and walk in Him, if you will. And God's desire, did you hear now? God's desire is to walk with you. God's desire is to commune with you. God's desire is to guide you. God's desire is to guard your life. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 25, verse 9 and 10, you don't need to turn to that one. But it says, a meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth until such as keep his covenant and his testimony. That's God's purpose revealed. This is God's purpose revealed. When our preacher gets up every week, pours his heart out. You know why he's talking a lot about the latter-day thing, eschatology? Because he realized we're on top of it right now. Or should I say it's on top of us? Because even while we're in this service, and I really wish he'd come now and I wouldn't have to finish this message. But do you understand that's where we are today? Do we understand that, child of God? Do we really? If we really understand that Christ is just a moment away, a twinkling of an eye, and he's here, are we ready to go? Teenager, your preacher's been challenging you for a lot of weeks. I've been listening when I'm at home, and I'm thinking, why is he on the teenagers a lot? Well, he gets on the young couples too, but teenagers, it's because he wants the teenagers to grow up. He wants some more herders up here. He wants some more young couples in the church serving God, not only here, but maybe down the road somewhere if the Lord tarries his coming. And he's given us everything that we have need of to get that done. Psalm 25, verse 9 and 10, the meek will he guide in judgment, and meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimony. If you choose your own paths, then you choose your own destiny. Proverbs 14:12 says this, don't miss this, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I'd rather go God's way. If I go God's way, he's going to guard me. If I go God's way, he's going to guide me. And if I go God's way, he's going to gather me home one day to be with him. Allow God to get in your life and make every step count for God. If that's true, and you can read there in the book of Job yourself about that footprint, but just think about it. Since the day we were born and somebody stuck our footprint on that paper until today that we gather here, he knows our every step. He knows our every step. He knows where we've been. He knows what we're thinking. I don't know about you, but that humbles me just a little. Allow God to order those steps and the purpose for your life as his dear children. So, we've seen the person that God describes here in Psalm 37. We're not going to go back. We've seen the purpose for the reason revealed in those scriptures. But here is the procedure that God adapts for your life and my life. Is it God's procedure and plan for your life and my life? Is there a book showing our future and our pathway into that future? Sure it is. It's called the Bible. It's called being in our Sunday school classes like you were this morning. It's called being in church services, every one of them, because not every service is going to click for you. But there'll be one day. Maybe even something said this morning might have helped you to grow you closer to the one who wants to be close to you. As a military man, many times we worked under sealed orders in Vietnam. We continued our mission. Orders were given. They were revealed. And I'm jumping through here. Time warrants were given. And listen, the same is true with God. By the way, I would not have ever dared to turn against the government as a soldier. Are you listening? Oh, there were those who went off, if you will, and got into trouble. I'm not even going to call them who they are, but I'm just telling you this. I don't want to be one of God's troops that goes off. I don't want to run from my responsibility. And I didn't want to run from my responsibility when I was in Vietnam either, and I didn't. And I came back after my time was done there. It's not only the steps of a good man ordered by the Lord, but how about the stops of a good man? The stops, not the steps, the stops. What do you mean, preacher? I believe with all my heart there have been times where God just kind of put his hand out. You're going your direction, and he just, kind of like that crossing guard at a school that nobody listens to. That's the way we treat God. He wants to guide you. He wants to guard you. But you've got to be willing to give yourself to Him and not ignore the cross guard, if you will. I remember when I first met the master sergeant that was over my area of responsibility, and I was in boot camp at that time learning. And I'll never forget him coming into my dormitory, if you will. All of us new recruits were all in there, had our little bitty bunks about this wide, and you know, we'd already been ordered and told. Knopfslinger was my tech sergeant. He was a guy that marched you around, told you you're ugly, you don't mean nothing, you amount to nothing and all that. But the day that this guy, he was a black man, 6'6", walks into our dormitory. We're supposed to have our beds where you can just drop a coin on, you know, bounce. You've heard them stories. So he walks in. What's he doing? He's inspecting. He didn't take anything less than what was written for him to expect from us who were GIs. Are y'all with me? And you know what scared me to death? He walks in and the first person he comes to is me. Yeah. Well, Knopfslinger, my tech sergeant, my guy who's over us, decided I would be what they would call the dorm chief. The chief gyrasticooter for everybody else. I thought. Until the 6'6" giant walked into the room, walked over to my bunk, which, by the way, my quarter bounced off my bed. If you don't know what that means, ask me later. He walks in, he looks at my bed, he looks at me, looks at my bed, looks at me, walks all the way around that bed on both sides, looks at me, comes to the end of my bunk, and flips that thing completely up in the air over, and I'm going, oh my God, I'm not going to make it to Vietnam. Scared me to death. I mean, it did. All of it to prepare us. You know, God puts some scary things in our way sometimes. You know what those are? He said, well, God don't scare anybody. He wants to get your attention, though. He got my attention. And from there on, I was the dorm chief. Anytime any of them got in trouble, they come to me. They didn't go to them. They came to me. And he had bad breath. And a drill sergeant don't get back here. He gets right there in your face. So by the time I was ready to get out of boot camp, I was ready to kill the other guys, keep them from having to go to Vietnam because they blamed everything on me. I said that to say this. We can't blame everything on everybody else. It's not only the steps of a good man ordered by the Lord, but it's the stops. And the word step means what it says, to move forward. The word stop means what it says, to stop in your tracks. As children of God, we can't do that. We can't do that. Notice this real quickly. Go back to Psalms. It said we wouldn't be back for a while. Psalm. Go back to Psalm 37. I want you to look with me quickly. We're just about through here. My wife's last verse, many of you already know it, but trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding in all thy ways. That's your life. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths or order our steps. And that's what it means. Psalm 23 again. 37, look at verse 23. The steps of a, what's that next word? Good man. And we already found out early part of the message, there is none that be good. No, not one. So how do we justify that scripture? You can only become good in Christ Jesus. When you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've been made good in Him. You've been made righteous in Him. You've been made holy in Him. You have been separated for Him. And you answer to Him. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. How can He delight in His way when we give Him control? Because He wants to guide you. Are y'all listening? He wants to guard you. And then one day soon, He wants to gather you to Himself forever and ever. You ever thought about what's on the other side? We hear a lot about heaven, but we don't ever really think about people on the other side. We do that. But what else is over there? I don't know, but I sure am looking forward to being there. But when I get there, I want to hear these words. Well, help me. Done, thou. Good and what? Next word. Servant. Are you faithful? Are you living right in the direct will of God for your life? Are you busy about God's business? If He came right then, would you have been ready? Because there's no other hope, no other way. How glad we should be to read the words that we have just read and know that they're for you and they're for me. I like what Jude wrote. The old preacher Jude, he wrote these words. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of the glory of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. You know, when we fall, he's always there to help us up. Maybe you're here today and you've fallen. Maybe you're saved, you know, but things are not well in your life. You're not living right. You're living out in the world. By the way, listen to me, Christian. Christian, we have no place for alcohol in our life. We have no place for gambling in our life. We have no place for chance in our life. We have place for truth. We have place for God. We have place for Christ. We have place for the Holy Ghost of God. We have place for the Word of God. And that's the only things that are going to matter. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Hurry, you're holding me up. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Somebody check and see if our baptizer is gathering out there. I don't want to be too late. I got another 10 minutes, I think, but we'll be done a little bit before that. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. It's in here. I know. I read it. Look at verse number 8. We are all troubled on every side. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in, what's in the next two words? Next two words is what? Look up here. Best I can tell, unless you're disguising yourself and you're some other kind of critter. You got a body. You have a life God gave you, a body God gave you to serve Him. You have ears to hear. You have a mouth to speak. You have a heart to feel. And the thing about it, ladies and gentlemen, if God's going to guard us and God's going to guide us, we have got to be right with God, period. It's not a guessing game, it's a knowing game. Are you right with the Lord this morning? Is there things you need to leave at an old-fashioned altar? Somebody say, if I walk down here, they'll think I'm sinning. Probably all of us could walk down here and be said we've been sinning. I don't think there's a perfect person in here. Wouldn't it be good one day if God's just people just fell down on their face and said, Lord, I'm good. No, that wouldn't be good at all. How about just say, Lord, been struggling. I love you, Lord. I really do. I think you know my heart, but I've been struggling. Been struggling with this or struggling with that or whatever it might be. But hear me, hear me. If you don't do that, He's not obligated. Oh, He may do so because He's such a loving God, but He's not obligated. I said He's not obligated to guard you, to guide you, to grow you, to gather you, yes, in heaven. Why don't we be gathered to Him here while we're here in this world in which we live? God wants to take you and guide you and guard you by His own hand. Though He fall, talking about you and I, we shall not utterly be cast down. Here's my last thought. The power that He offers can only come from God Himself. The Bible said, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand.
Or, if you will, the Lord puts his hand under him, if needed, to lift them up from time to time. Matthew chapter number 14. Matthew chapter 14. Verse number 22, Matthew chapter 14. Remember the feeding of the 5,000, 4,000, and 5,000? You know, the five loaves. Watch this in verse number 22. Matthew 14, verse number 22. Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship, to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. What was he doing? He was guiding them. Y'all with me? When he had sent them all to the way, he went up in a mountain to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship that the disciples were on, the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary, kind of like the world in which we live, ladies and gentlemen. Verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. How many believe Jesus could walk on the sea? And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. They even had doubt, ladies and gentlemen, like many of us do from time to time. They were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But, straightway, the word means absolutely right at this time, or immediately, Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." Peter never thought straight to start with. And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. How many of you believe Peter walked on the water? Say amen. Amen. To go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord," the next two words, "save me." Look up here. That was a physical aspect of being saved. But here's the story. It was God who sent them out. It was Christ who sent them out. He knew what to expect. They didn't. But when it all happened the way that Jesus knew it would happen, and they're there and they don't know what to do, guess who they turn to? Guess who turns to them? Jesus. Guess who shows up with the boisterous seas and the water and Jesus. Isn't it amazing how Jesus shows up just at the right time when we need him? Whether it be in our marriage, whether it be in our children, whether it be in raising of the children, whatever it may, health, whatever it may be, always shows up on time. Sometimes it takes something from you and me. Sometimes it takes Peter being as like he was, just kind of off the cuff. "Lord, bid me come unto thee." Y'all remember that story? Did he go? He liked to drown, didn't he? But guess who saved him out of all that? You know what the Lord was looking for? Somebody that let them guide them, guard them, bring about that which God would have for them in their own personal life. I don't know what your personal life is like this morning. I know this. I couldn't wait to get saved years ago. When I finally figured out I wasn't saved, you know the story, I'm not going to tell it, but I know this, after I got saved, I'll never, ever doubt it again. Are you doubting it this morning? Are you hearing some preacher? I don't know for sure. Listen, I don't care. By the way, if you're a senior saint, you ain't got much longer to be here. It'd be good to know. But it really don't matter, because if a rapture took place in a moment and twinkling of an eye, none of us have any time left. Wouldn't it be good to be ready? Said, preacher, can you get saved over again and over again? No, get saved one time. But you have to accept Christ on his terms. Have him to forgive you of your sins and to save you. And I promise you, God will seal that in your mind and in your heart. And you'll never, ever doubt it again. But it's up to you. So here it is. There's footsteps. God's watching every footstep you take. God knows where you're going. God knows where you're going sometime when you don't know where you're going. I believe I'd like for God to guide my footsteps. I believe I'd like for God to guard my footsteps until the day He comes and takes us home to glory. What about you? Where are you this morning in your life, seated right here at Trinity Baptist Church?